God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 25th day of April, 2007, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Tonight, the message from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, The Gender Factor. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
So much the gender factor. And although we as born-again believers should and do understand primarily the differences in roles and personality and all that God has designed, I want you to understand we're living in a world that does not believe that. I do a lot of marriage counseling, and today we have more of an egalitarian style of marriage that says, you know, the man and wife is equal, there's no roles, everybody just kind of does whatever they can do. And I'm telling you, what it's causing is a mess in relationships today. We have over a 50% divorce rate today, and when you used to have traditional marriages, you didn't have that type of divorce rate. You didn't have confusion so much. Oh, you said problems, you had sin, you had things that were messed up. But the man knew what his role was, the woman knew what her role was, kids knew what their role was. It wasn't a big debate. But now there's argument and debating and all this kind of stuff. You say, where is this coming from? It's coming from years and years and years ago of a feminist movement and a satanic movement that is standing up saying, hey, we're all alike. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, biblically, no, we're not. We're not all alike. We're going to take some time to go through some of that and lay some foundation. And there's five primary areas we're going to get to. We'll probably just get to one tonight, to tell you the truth, because I want to lay a foundation for some of the reasons why we want to look at these. But there's five areas, biblically, that you see that men and women are different. We're going to talk tonight about the spirit of the man and woman. And there's also, of course, God talks about the marriage and the home and talks about the workplace. He talks about appearance and he talks about these various areas. And then in the church where God has distinctly said, hey, this is a woman's role. This is a man's role. This is what a woman's like. This is what a man's like. And I just think it's essential. I'll be honest. I think for our young people growing up in this culture that every TV show and I don't know about you, but it seems like every thing that I read today or see today is guided toward trying to make women independent and women are better than men and all this kind of stuff. And it just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I've realized if you say something loud enough and long enough, people start believing it. So even born-again believers begin to pick up on that stuff and say, what's the big deal? And to start out, I kind of want to show you three specific areas of why we're really going to study this that we see really plaguing our society today. Some things that are hurting our society today. And I believe that one of the reasons of these three areas is the gender situation that people don't understand that, hey, there's a great difference. So let's look at these. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Stand, if you would. And we'll begin our reading here before we get into our three examples that I'd like to start out with. But in Romans chapter 1, and let's go all the way down to verse 24. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Ghost, begins to explain the results of the sins of the Gentiles here. In verse 24 it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then it begins to list those things. Then all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Such a powerful verse that really, we could probably just stop right there. And it defines and allows us to understand that there's a difference between genders. In the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter, God says, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Not neutral. Okay, male and female. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? We are created in the image of God. If you mess up the genders, you mess up the image of God. So as believers, the reason this is so important to us, folks, is you mess with the very glory of God when you mess that up. And I don't believe that we're probably talking to anybody here today that has messed it up. But the problem is, are we contributing to it by our lack of knowledge of the situation? And maybe even by some of our philosophies that have so inundated our society today that we're acting a lot like the world in some areas. And by that, we're messing up the image of God. So we're going to look at that tonight. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. And Lord, help me to explain clearly. And Lord, definitely what your word says. And Lord, just address some of the issues facing us today. That as believers, Lord, we understand the importance, Lord, of just giving you the honor and glory and understanding why we were made in your image. And Lord, the different factors there. And Lord, just help us to reestablish proper gender roles. And Lord, understand that as a man or a woman, Lord, that we're created in your image. And we're blessed by you. And by following those specific roles and designs, we're honoring you. And may we do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe everybody wants to honor God, and I praise the Lord for that. And that's why we're going to go over this. But I'm going to, first of all, give you an example of three areas that is just so messed up in our society today. And one of the big pushing factors of this mess up is the fact of the gender roles being mixed up. Here in Romans chapter 1, as we read, I know it may seem surprising to you just a little bit why we'd read that passage dealing with genders. But if you go down just a little bit in Romans chapter 1, you'll find out in verse 27 it says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat." You say, "Well, preacher, what is that?" Well, yeah, I'm sick and tired of hearing homosexuals say, "You know what? Homosexuality isn't in the Bible." Hey, that is homosexuality. When men begin to desire men, let me help you, that's not normal. That's not natural. And by the way, you're not born that way. You're not designed that way. You didn't suddenly have some gene or some extra estrogen cast in your body at birth, as they'd like to say. And now you have this feminine side. And by the way, we don't have feminine sides. Let me help you right now. You know, "Well, preacher, I've heard that men have feminine sides." No, we don't. We have male sides. Praise God. You know, and I'm glad for that. But we're being inundated with even good born-again believers. I've heard say, "Well, preacher, aren't they born that way?" And I'm like, man, I want to jump out and say, "Are you brain dead?" You know, but I know what's happening. They're reading. They're watching TV. And instead of getting in the Word of God, they're thinking, "Well, you know, I see so many people, and I have this good friend, and they grew up in church, and now they're a lesbian or homosexual or whatever you want to call it, and I believe they're saved, and let me help you." No, they're not. No, they're not. You say, "Oh, and I didn't say they can't get saved. I'm here to help you, folks." Gay people are not saved. Okay, when you get saved, praise God, you change and you become natural once again. You know what the Bible says? It is unnatural. It is strange. It is weird. It gets even weirder, folks. There's now transsexuals. Don't even have transvestites. Don't even have time to get into that one. Okay, but I'm talking weird stuff, cross-dressers and all this stuff. You say, "Preacher, what is it?" It is this fact of people saying, "Hey, it doesn't matter what your gender are. We're all alike. And if a man wants to be a woman or a woman wants to be a man, it's okay." No, we were made in the image of God. Right. God made you the way that He wanted you. And God has clearly called the Word of God. It is sin. It's an abomination before God. He says, "When you continue in it, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind." There's nothing natural about it. But I'm telling you, the scourge of homosexuality, and one of the big reasons for it that is promoting it so strongly, is this lack of understanding of, hey, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a role for them, there's a design for them, and God designed a certain way. And when you mix that up, you offend Almighty God. And you mess up the very picture that God has. And so I want you to understand, it's a scourge, and I could spend a lot of time on that, but I think hopefully that we understand that aspect. But for that aspect, number one, I look at that example in society, and I see it growing, and by the way, it's going to get worse. Our kids are being taught in school, and I praise God that Sammy's graduating and going to college, and that Jonathan's already out. No, I'm serious with you. I praise God that we don't have to face what some of your kids are going to face, where they're going to be in school and being told that, hey, guess what? Homosexuality is normal. That's just natural. And your kids are going to be coming home hearing all this junk in their head and saying, hey, it's okay to be that way. No, 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 no. That's why we and Christians have to stand up and say, no. Hey, I'm going to love somebody that has that sin in their life. And that is a sin. It's not a preference. It's a sin. And I'm going to love them. I'm going to give them the gospel. But guess what? I'm not going to agree one bit with the direction that they're going. And as believers, we better take a stand now. Because I'm telling you, if we don't stand now, it's going to run right over us. Politicians are for it. The government's for it. Other religions are for it. They're ordaining homosexual ministers right now. It's gross. It's sick. You're saying, what's happening? It's because we're saying, well, we're all equal. Doesn't really matter. No, we're not. God says, no, we're not. I didn't say one's better than the other. I just said we're not equal. And don't misunderstand that. We're not saying that one's more superior, one's inferior. I'm just telling you, we're not equal, folks. God has different designs for us. So number one, homosexuality. Number two, I'd like to borrow an example. Brother Wayne Hardy actually preached a couple sermons on blurring the lines at Heartland Baptist Bible College, and I think even at Men's Challenge a couple years ago. And use an illustration I like to use because I think it it's probably one of the best ways just really revealed to you the second problem we have today. He used two stories. One was back in April 15, 1912, during an 80-minute period, he said, four words were repeated over and over during a panic. These four words that were repeated over and over and over again back on April 15th of 1912 were this: women and children first, women and children first, women and children first, over and over and over. And as they stood there, as the ship was going down, you say, what ship? The Titanic was getting ready to sink. Over and over, you would hear all the men, all the workers going, women and children first, women and children first. And story after story began to come out as they would take these women and they'd give them life vests and they'd put them on the boat. And one by one, they would be shipped out. Several stories are recounted there, and don't have time to go over all of them, but one was Dan Marvin loaded his bride into a boat and then blew her a kiss. He said, it is all right, you go, and I will follow behind. Adolf Diker helped Mrs. Diker over the rail with a cheery, I'll see you later. Be brave, no matter what happens, be brave. And he waved as she went away. Mr. Terrell Cavendish said nothing to his wife. He blew her a kiss and then just stared at her for a while. Then as she began to get out of sight, he blew her another kiss and just began to stare, never to see her again. Mark Fortune and his son Charles helped Mrs. Fortune and their three little daughters and three sisters into a boat. And with a cheery goodbye, they waved from the top of the Titanic and said bye. Every single one of those men died. There were 1,503 deaths on the Titanic. 1,503. Of those 1,503, there were 1,347 men that died. Almost the majority of the deaths, over 90%, were men who died. But then Pastor Hardy recounted another story of a shipwreck in 1994. You might remember it as the Estonia. In the Estonia, 852 people died in that shipwreck. The law of the jungle was at rule this time, they said. 90% of the survivors were men. The majority that died were the women and the children. And this is a account of the Estonia. One man said, hey, it's survival of the fittest. Every man for himself. Another man said, if women want equality for themselves, they got it. Another man was quoted as they asked him why they didn't save the women. He said, there's no law saying women and children first. That is something from the age of chivalry. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a feminist today, chivalry is gone and women are dying. There was an age and a day when men were gentlemen. And the law of the land was you respect women, you take care of women, and as a man it was your job to protect women because it was your God-given responsibility. You did everything you could, and if there was a tragedy, you got the women and children out first, and the last people to leave at any time was a man. And if you left first, it was dishonorable. It was a lack of courage for a man ever to leave before everybody else was out. Do you understand that? I'm scared today to get in a situation with a whole bunch of men because that philosophy is gone. That is gone. Would to God that our young men would grow up and understand, and I hope my boys understand, and I believe that they do. Man, if there's ever a tragedy, you know, mom comes first. That's just the way that it is, folks. And any other women or any other children in the area, you will risk your life for them. Why? It's an honorable thing. And if you die, so be it. Why? Because that's a man thing. That's what men do. We need chivalry back. You know, we now get an attitude. If somebody opens a door for a woman, I'm tired of seeing it. You open a door for a woman, and she goes, I get it. I can get it. I'm saying, I've had them actually get mad. It's like, ugh. And I'm like going, ooh, excuse me. You know, sorry I was nice to the woman. You know, but really the attitude is, hey, I'm equal to you, man. What are you doing? Well, let me tell you what your equality is doing. It's killing our families. It's killing America is what our equality is doing. You say, well, you're just a male chauvinist. You might want to listen to the rest of the message. Oh, we're not a male chauvinist. Matter of fact, you know anything about the Bible? The Bible protects women better than any other book on the face of the earth. Any other book on the face of the earth, this book protects better than anything else. And when you start getting away from it, women become looked at totally different. And you want freedom, you want laws, I'm telling you, you begin to destroy yourself. Chivalry is dead. Why do we need the genders back? Because we need gentlemen back. We need the roles reversed once again. I looked down, I came up with a third reason. We mentioned at the beginning, Genesis 1:27. We are made in the very image of God. And when you break down the roles of the genders, it so messes up who the Creator is and how we're supposed to operate. And for these reasons, I believe we need to look further. Well, let me kind of give you some background as we're going to read some quotes and so forth. I'd like to read you a couple quotes from those that are feminists and transsexual activists and all that kind of fun stuff. And if you don't understand what that is, you can ask somebody that can give you some more information. But let me give you a couple quotes. First one's from Nancy Naggeroni, and she writes in the Transgender Warriors, "It's time to root out the imposition of gendered behavior stereotypes from all aspects of our lives. Ending gender oppression means encouraging our children to experiment with alternative gender expressions." They would like to encourage your children to have gender expressions. There's nothing wrong with boys putting on girls' clothes. It's so special. Isn't that manly to see him talk like that? Matter of fact, today Sam and I were in the doctor's office. We see this guy, he's dressed in a suit. And we're thinking, oh, sharp, no lie. He gets up, they say, it's your turn. He goes, okay, thank you. We went, oh, man. Hey, boy. That's not an expression I want my son to have. Coming, Father. You know? I don't want him walking out in a dress. Oh, you'd still love him after I beat the snot out of him, I might. You say, that's so mean. We'll deal with it. And I don't want them to have alternative expressions. I like the fact that my boys are boys. Okay, I don't want that. Here's another one. It's fundamental that individuals have the right to define. And to define as their lives unfold their own gender identity. That's funny. How come when a boy or girl is born, we go, hey, is it a boy or a girl? Everybody looks real quick and says, oh, okay, it's a boy. You know, nothing to define there. Okay. Their own, without regard to chromosomal sex, assigned birth sex, or initial gender order. That's brain dead. I mean, it's brain dead. You know, it doesn't matter how you came out, you can define what you want to be. Well, what do you mean what I want to be? I am what I am, what God created me. What's there to define? You want to mess up a kid's life? Tell a boy he's a girl. Come on, I mean, you ever grow up and somebody call you a girl or a sissy? You know, I mean, it'll mess with you. I mean, it really will. I mean, if you're a real young man, if you're a real boy, you're going to say, I'm going to prove you wrong. And usually someone had a bloody nose after that, you know. And you're like, why'd you get kicked out of school? Well, he called me a sissy, you know. And seriously, and I'm just going to tell you, every dad, when that happens, goes, yeah, you're in big trouble. Yeah, man. You say, you'd be excited if someone called your boys a sissy and you punched them in the nose? You bet I would. Oh, 100%, man. You say, why? Man, you don't want to be growing up calling a girl or a sissy. You know, I want them to know, hey, you're a young man. If I had girls, and I don't have girls. God probably knew that was good. God knows best is all I can tell you. But if I had girls, I'd want them to be feminine. Now, seriously, now, I know this term is around. And I know when they're younger, we use it a lot. And I'm just going to tell you, I think we need to be careful in today's generation. But we often, you know, say, ah, my girl's a tomboy. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want my girl to have any distinction at all that says boy. You know, and I know they play rough when they're younger and as they get older, you know, but you want them to grow to a point where they like dresses and they like dolls and they like frilly things, not your boys. Okay? They don't get to choose that. I mean, but seriously, you want there to be a difference. You say, why? That's the way God designed it. Are men and women different? They're different anatomically, but are they different in other ways? Do their hormonal differences influence their behavior and attitudes? Do they process information differently? Feminists and gay theorists say no, but I say otherwise. Professor Steven Goldberg, and I wanted to share some things with you from him. He's the chairman of the Department of Sociology at the City College of New York City. He's written a book with a very provocative title, probably why I like it. It's called Why Men Rule. I like that. A Theory of Male Dominance. Yeah, if you're a feminist, you cannot stand this already. Okay. In the book, he debunks much of the feminist mythology surrounding the issue of differences between male and females. He goes down to list. Goldberg says this, there is not, nor has there ever been, any society that even remotely failed to associate authority and leadership in a superfamilial areas with the male. There are no borderline cases except in mythology. There is no case anywhere, folks, in the world, where when you had a society that gathered together, unless the men were all gone, when there were men there, there are no cases where the men did not rule. It was a natural thing in every society, in every culture, everywhere in the world. Why? Because Goldberg says it's innately designed. Innately, what's that mean? God put it there. It is innately designed that way. God put it there that men would rule. I like the way that Dobson puts it this way. He says, you know, people have a problem understanding that men and women are different, and you know, physically and so forth. And so in his book, Straight Talk to Men and Their Wives, if you read that book, you might remember, but several years ago, a drug company decided to do a test. And they decided they'd go to the small fishing village, and they would give a birth control pill to all the women because they wouldn't do this test. And so they gave it to all the women at the same time. And what happened was all the women at the same time in this birth control pill, they gave it to them, were on it for 3 weeks. At the end of that time period, they took all the women off at the same time. Now, if you're thinking ahead, you probably are figuring out what's getting ready to happen. At that time, every woman in the village went through her cycle at the exact same time. You know what literally happened? It drove the men crazy. Every man in the village, no lie, got in his boat and stayed away for 1 week. Every time it happened, they refused to come to shore until it was all done. I think if we'd ask those men, is there a difference between men and women? They'd all say, uh-huh. I mean, it's not that hard, folks. I mean, God designed us physically different. You know, there's some things women have, men don't have, and some things women can do, men can't do, and vice versa. It's not that difficult, but we try to make it hard. An ABC special, Boys and Girls Are Different, John Stossel described studies conducted by universities on what appear to be innate differences between males and females. They're like, we're catching on. Child psychologist Michael Lewis conducted this experiment, and they took a one-year-old boys and girls, and they separated them from their mothers. And they would put the moms on, you know, on one side of the wall and the kids on the other. And they said, without a doubt, the same thing happened every time. When they separated the boys and they put them here and took mom out and put her on the other side, the boys went crazy. I mean, they got mad. The boys would go to the wall and just start going, boom, 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 boom. I mean, they started pounding to get out. He said, without exception, the girls sat down and cried. I mean, they just, yeah, I know. I mean, they just sat down and started bawling. Mommy, I want my mommy. The boys, man, they were mad, man. They were going to do something. Why? Because boys have an aggressive nature, in case you didn't know that. He said, contrary to the wishful thinking of feminists, bisexuals, transsexuals, there are profound differences between males and females. This is the professor. And those differences are programmed within the DNA from the moment of conception. The brains of females and males are clearly sexed. And testosterone and estrogen are the juices that augment maleness and femaleness. Folks, it is an integral part of who we are. Let me give you some quick differences. Appearance. On average, men are taller than women. Amen. Men usually have more body hair than women, unless you're from Europe. Men's skin. That was free. Men's skin is thicker, oilier than women's skin. Now, women generally have a smaller waist in comparison to their hips. In men, the second digit or the index finger tends to be shorter than the fourth digit. You'll start checking this out now. Go ahead. While in females, the second tends to be longer than the fourth. Did y'all check it out? Okay, just make sure. On average, women tend to have skin that is 3 to 4% lighter than men. And naturally, of course, that's because of the cycle, and they're going to give birth to kids, so it makes sense. Health. Women generally have higher body fat percentage than men. That's why they get mad at us constantly. Okay. Women usually have lower blood pressure than men. On average, men are stronger than women. Can you believe it? Wow, that's interesting. Men and women have different levels of hormones. Praise God. We'll skip that one. I've got to check some of these out, crossing them out. It's all scientific, but I'm like, nah. Okay. I like this one. You'll know why. On average, male brains have approximately 4% more cells and 100 grams more than brain tissue than females do. Now that should get a couple of amens. Of course, he says that doesn't mean we're smarter, but I left that part out. Just quote what you want to quote, you know what I'm saying? And that's just because we're larger guys, in case you're wondering. Yeah, we have a bigger body frame is all that is. Someone please keep an eye on the women while I'm exiting tonight. Okay, communication. Men tend to talk more than women in public. So in public, men actually talk more, but in private, most of you know, women talk more. Females face each other. If you ever notice ladies talking, I mean, they look eye to eye, they talk. I mean, most men really, we kind of look around, we look back, look around, look back. You know, just kind of standard. You can check that out everywhere. I mean, now folks, the problem is there's exceptions with this. But folks, exceptions aren't rules. That's why they're called exceptions. When 99% of the people act the innate way God designed, when you find one exception, you go, oh, this just messes up the curve. It doesn't mess up anything, folks. Okay? They're standard rules that you see anywhere you go, not just in America. Clothing. In most cultures, you can look at a person's clothing and notice. For instance, this wrote, I looked this up in the encyclopedia. You know what the encyclopedia said? This is interesting. In Western society, skirts and dresses and high-heeled shoes are usually, notice usually, seen as women's clothing. while neckties are generally worn by men. Trousers were once seen as exclusively male clothing, but are nowadays worn by both sexes. Male clothes are often more practical. Okay? Males are typically allowed to, we'll skip that part. It is generally acceptable, let me cross this up out, to some degree for a woman to wear traditionally male clothing, but not the other way around. Okay? It is notable that men in skirts, although in varying societies, are normally not acceptable. Did you guys catch that? Okay? It's not acceptable. Five areas that God gives distinctions between genders. I read all the scientific stuff, and there's much more we're going to leave out. But there's five basic areas, and tonight I really just want to hit one. I want to talk the spirit. We're made in the image of God, and with that image, God has made body, soul, and spirit. Okay, three parts. And you have body, soul, and spirit. Before you're saved, you have body, soul, and you have a dormant spirit. Your spirit is quickened, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, when you accept Jesus Christ, is made alive. In that, though, there's a natural spirit or character innately designed, I guess what I want to say, in every single individual. In other words, boys that come out are innately designed in a certain way. Girls, when they come out, they have an innate spirit about them. We want to talk about that. I mean, it is specifically designed. Now, I'm not talking about personalities right now. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about, and probably the best word to use is masculinity and femininity. Okay? In other words, boys are born masculine and girls are born feminine. It is the very spirit of that individual as the way that we're designed. I want to give you some thoughts here. And once again, what's interesting to me in my studies is I'm pulling this a lot from secular sources for a reason. Because even the secular world looks and says, hey, we get it. I mean, we get it. I mean, major contributors in writing say, hey, this is not that bad. I'm not that hard to see. So I began to take a look, and one of the areas I found on masculinity, first of all, I just went to the dictionary. Masculine means aggressive and competitive. The adjective masculine means manly. It is used to describe a male, and its chief quality is courage. It is initiative. It is fight. We are pre-designed to fight. Are you aware of that? As a matter of fact, I like 1 Corinthians 16:13. Very short verse. It says this: watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Man, I like what one commentator said. If I could ever figure out how a man could quit, I'd do it. The fact of the matter is, men don't quit. That word, quit you like men, literally means this. It means to render one manly or brave, to show oneself a man. That is not to be coward or timid or alarmed at enemies, but to be bold and brave. In other words, God was saying, hey, be a man. Show yourself a man. He said, I made you that way. Be a man. I remember when Brenda and I Brenda first came home to meet my family. She got the shock of her life. Brenda grew up with two sisters and a brother. Now, in that type of family, it's a little different. Andy was not allowed to hit the girls when Dad was watching, at least, right? Okay, so I mean, it's different. I mean, Andy was never allowed to pick up the girls, throw them across the room, you know, body slam them, you know, headlocks, do the little head thing, you know, do the pink belly. We'll explain that later if you need some assistance. None of that stuff. They weren't allowed to take BB guns and chase each other, fireworks and throw them at each other. Girls don't do that, for the most part. Okay, they don't. I mean, girls are more passive and so forth. So a different scenario. So Brenda wasn't used to a normal male tendencies. Well, in our home, my dad is an ex-Marine. And so being an ex-Marine, Dad just thought his boys ought to be men. And so we grew up wrestling from when I'm talking 5 years old. I was wrestling with Dad. 6 and 7. He's 240 pounds. I'm 35. And he still got me down going, you give? You give? Mom! Don't you cry for your mom, boy. Yeah! I want. It developed something in you. But even from a young age, I was always small. I was like 4'11" in high school. Let me help you. That's small, okay? But even in that, Dad said, man, you're going to be tough. He'd throw us around. He'd throw us against the wall. He'd bend things, twist things. I probably got hurt more from my dad than anybody else in life. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, it was just the way it is. Well, so we grew up. I mean, at any time in our home, weird things, we'd be sitting at the table. And we'd kind of get, you know, these attitudes going. You may think this is bad, but we'd break out in a fight at the table. And I'm not a mean fight, you know, like we're mad at each other. But I mean, all of a sudden, Dad would take a pitcher of tea and throw it at us at the table as we're eating. All of a sudden, well, then we'd take our roll. You gonna do that? And I mean, it would be chaos. And Mom would sit there eating. Well, Mom adapted. She grew up in a house full of boys. Well, Brenda came. She'd never seen this. It's like the first night she's there. We're sitting there, you know, talking. All of a sudden, Travis says something. I didn't like it. Dad, you know, chimes in. Next thing you know, we're in a full wrestling match. I'm like 18 now. You know, Travis is about 15, and we're on the floor and throwing people. Dad jumps in the middle, so we start jumping on him. We turn over furniture. Brenda's lifting her legs. We're sweating. We're yelling, going, ah! And her eyes got about this big. I mean, Mom goes, oh, it's okay. They do this all the time. Brenda goes, can I get back on the plane? You know? She never said it. It's what? It's called the male thing, man. I mean, male, hey, we're just designed that way. Our boys growing up, when they'd fight, I'd laugh. She'd be like, oh, don't let them do that. I'm like, let them finish. You know, this is great, man. Free show. This is good stuff. If you have boys, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's innately designed. I like war movies. My wife can't stand any violence. You know? I know she thinks I'm wicked. I love it. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm going to tell you something. Seriously, I wanted my boys to watch war movies because, you know, one day they may have to go to war. No, I'm serious. We're living in such a sissy society today, it irritates me. It really does. You know, they're growing up to be kind of feminine and nice, and all the girls around them go, oh, just be kind of sweet. And I think guys ought to be gentle and sweet around girls. I do. But around guys, I think that'll be tough. And I want to watch war movies. I mean, I love it, you know. Things blow up. I mean, seriously, I mean, things are blowing up and there's tanks. I mean, we love, you know, I love F-16s and I love, you know, firefights and I love nuclear missiles and cannons. And you probably need to run right now from me. But anyways, man, I love that. Seriously, I do. I love a fight. We always have turn. If two people are fighting, my wife's like, oh, I can't stand this. The boys and I, we're going, yeah, hit him harder. Yeah, get him. And we're not gruesome. We don't believe in gruesome stuff. We don't watch all that massacre stuff that's just science fiction and gruesome. I'm talking about just real wars and real things. Because I wanted them to say, hey, if they ever got called to war, I didn't want them to be chicken. I wanted them to have enough where they saw and they said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to fight the fight. I always like them to see inspiring stories and things. So we like it. We know Mom doesn't like it, so we don't watch around her, but we love it. And you say, preacher, you're weird. You know, you call me whatever I am, but guess what? It's innately designed. Now, I'd much rather, guys, come on. Would you rather see Torah, Torah, Torah than Betty Loves John? Hey, really? How Betty met John. I don't care unless there was a fight. Now, Betty met John at a restaurant and they broke in a fight. I'll watch it. Great movie. You know, if John, I don't know, has to beat up someone to get Betty. Now it's a cool movie. But until then, that's not fun. Now, we may watch it because we like you. But inside, we're going, you're killing me, man. You're killing me. You say, why? It's innately designed. We like it. I'm a little competitive. I'm pretty competitive. My wife, not so. See, my wife has a thought process. She's like, let's play for fun. What's that? Stan, do you know what that is? I don't know what playing for fun is. You know? You say, preacher, I've seen you play for fun. No. No, I was trying to kill you. I'll tell you that right now. And the only thing that ever stops me is I have to remember, I'm the preacher. No, really. I don't play. Stan can tell you as aggressive as I used to. I mean, because you're playing volleyball and mixed volleyball. Man, it's fun, but it's a pain. You know, you say, why? Because there's girls involved. You say, what's the problem? You want to run over them, but it's not allowed. You know, people look down at the pastor when you're pushing them out of the way, you know, poking them in the eyeball. But if it's another guy, who cares? If I'm playing with Sam Blackstar, we can run over each other. We don't say we're sorry. We're saying, hey, get out of the way. You say, what is that, preacher? Guess what? We're men. We like it that way. We do. We're competitive. We fight. You say, what is that? It's courage. It's initiative. Well, Janet Salzman in 1974, she wrote this about masculinity. She said, there are 7 general features of masculinity innately designed in every man. Let's hit them real quick. Number one, physically, he's athletic, strong, brave. I like this. Unconcerned about appearance and aging. Praise God. I taught our boys, they'll walk out and you go, your boys are not fashion conscious. Yeah. That's a man thing. I'm going to help you with that right now. You say, what is that? Man, we don't care. Sam and I were talking about this. How does this look? Nah, it's fine. Yeah. You know, getting old. You probably notice I'm going a little gray. Just a little. You know, if I was a woman, I'd be coloring my hair about 20 years ago. You say, preacher, why don't you color your hair? Because I don't care. You say, why? That's the way God made me. If you want to color your hair, that's fine. But I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not even a concern of me. But you're getting worse. I think I have a mirror at home. I think I see that. You know, we're not as concerned about a physical appearance. You know, seriously, when was the last time you saw a man come out and go, do I look fat? You know what a man does? Yeah! Yeah, like that, buddy. Get a little chubby there. Yeah. That's a man. We don't care. I like that. Amen. That's right. Thank you, Brian. Functional. Breadwinner. Provider. Man, that's our job. Guys, get a job. See, this gender role is so messy. We'll talk about this next week, but it's blowing my mind. He said, well, I heard this. I just think my wife, you know, we're kind of an equal society. She ought to work as much as I am and provide equally. No, she shouldn't. The Bible says you provide. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he's worse than an infidel, a non-believer. Guess what? I'm not saying women, you can't work. I'm just saying, men, guess what? That's our job. That is our job primarily. I like that. Sexual, we're aggressive. Yeah, we are. My wife says different things to me. She calls me strange. Pervert, stuff like that. All the time. And I look at her and say, I'm a man. Men think about that topic just a little bit more than women do. Okay, a whole lot more. And I'm just going to help you women. It's normal. It's normal. That's not a weird thing. Now, it's weird to you. You know what? You're not designed that way. And you'll never be designed that way. But guess what? You have a normal man. You ought to thank God for that. Okay? We're the initiators. That's the way that it is. Emotional. We're not. Big shock. Well, I know that one guy. He's really emotional. Exception. No, we're more unemotional and stoic. And you say, you don't care. We care. But guess what? It's not manly to walk around. I'm sorry, I don't really care what the feminist everybody says. It's not manly to walk around with my emotions on my sleeves all the time. No, it's not. Well, preacher, I don't think I like that. I really didn't ask. In fact, the matter is, do your own research. I'll tell you where that came from. You go back any length of time in any history, and you'll find out, guess what? There ought to be a design there where men are able to control their emotions. I'm not saying it's wrong to cry. There's appropriate times to cry. I didn't say anything like that. But I'm saying being as emotional as a woman, no. No, we're not supposed to. So women, don't expect us to be. Don't expect us to be as emotion inclined as you are. God didn't want us that way. That got everything quiet. Intellectual. We're logical, rational, objective, practical. We really are. We don't think on the abstract. We don't think on the emotional. We think about facts. Number six, interpersonal. We're a leader. We're dominating. We're a disciplinarian. We're independent. We're individualistic. We are dominating. And once again, I'm not saying that all this is right. I mean, there's certain biblical areas you're going to see. I mean, pride is pride and it's wrong. I mean, bottom line. Okay, but the fact of the matter is when we're talking about domineering, we're talking in a proper leadership role. We're not talking about grabbing the woman like a caveman, you know, and dragging her. Because if you do that, don't go to sleep at night. I'll tell you that right now. We're not talking about anything that's inappropriate. You know what we preach here. No man should ever touch his wife inappropriately. Matter of fact, if you slap, hit your wife in any way, you're not a man. Now, seriously, you're not. Why don't you go pick on someone bigger? Not me, Andy. But go pick on somebody bigger. Really, I have no respect for a man. Seriously, no respect for anybody that hits a woman. Why? That's not manly. That is not courageous at all. So we're not talking about anything. So don't misinterpret biblical stuff and say, preacher said I'm supposed to be domineering and I'm supposed to be a leader. Yeah, the biblical way. Okay, you might want to learn about that before you just start, you know, saying it, walking around going, I'm in charge. Now, prove your leadership. Be a man. Be a man. Finally, he says, other personal characteristics. We're success-oriented, ambitious. Sometimes we are too proud. Trustworthy, decisive, competitive, all these things, uninhibited. I like what Deborah David and Robert Brandon said. They gave a four rule. She's going to go over three of them. They said, number one for man, no sissy stuff. Anything that even remotely hints of femininity is prohibited. I like that. I mean, if it's even close to being feminine. Seriously, if you've got boys and they pick up a doll at the age of three and they go, look, daddy, there's a doll going to play with it. You grab it now. You say, but they're only three. Yeah, grab it now. You say, what do? You give them a truck and go, whoom, whoom, whoom. That's a boy, son. It's real simple. You know, we're talking about secular people that recognize, hey, quit you like men. Be a man. Why don't you read your Bible stories? About what men were. You don't see any feminine men in the Bible. You don't see King David. Oh, he was a poet. You bet he was. Nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean he was just emotional. No. Was he sensitive? You bet. Nothing wrong with that. Being sensitive to God and having some sensitivity. But he was a warrior. You never questioned if he was masculine or not. So if you're going to have that side, which is great, God gives that side to you. The fact of the matter is, make sure people know how masculine you are. Be a big wheel. Masculinity is measured by success, power, they said, and the admiration of others. One most possessed wealth, fame, and status. And of course, I don't agree with that biblically. But I do believe that biblically, one needs to pursue those things that God has called us to pursue. And we ought to be ambitious to build the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, be a sturdy oak. Manliness requires rationality, toughness, and self-reliance. I just want to say this before we talk about femininity. Men, one of the things I love about Central Baptist Church is we have real men here. And ladies, you may not ever understand us, but you ought to thank God in this gender messed up society that you have a real man. Man, I hope he walks like a man. You know there's a walk for a man? Yeah, really, it's a manly walk. And you sit like a man. Man, don't you hate the sissy sitting? Hey, you've seen it. And don't sit like a girl. I mean, and smell like a man. Now, my wife sometimes says, man, you smell like a man. I go, that's right. And by the way, that's not good. I'm going to help you right now. But I never want to look at my woman and go, my wife goes, nah, you smell like a man. I mean, be a man. So, gentlemen, let me help you. First off, you are made in the image of God. The natural tendencies you have, sure, they need to be tweaked by the Spirit of God. They need to be balanced by the Spirit of God. I'm not saying to go off in the evil side, the wicked side, but I'm saying this. Let's be men. Let's be men. Let's not be ashamed to be men. And I don't really care what the world says. Let's at least have a place where people can go and say, hey, now that's some real men. They're leaders. They're strong. They're courageous. Yes, they're loving. They're brave. But that's some real men there at Central Baptist Church. And folks will honor God if we do it. Now, the second part is femininity. That's the spirit of a woman. It means nurturing and soft. Nurturing and soft. Interesting, as I looked at this and began to read through there, 1 Peter 3 came to mind. Let's look at that real quick. 1 Peter 3, we won't have as much time to spend here, but I at least want to show an aspect of this before we close. 1 Peter 3, and honestly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on femininity. You say, why? I'm not feminine. I raised two boys. I'm not going to say I'm an expert at it. I mean, really what I know is from my mom, my sisters, and my wife, and they're excellent models. So, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says here, I'm sorry, 1 Peter. Did I say 2nd? Because I lied to you. If I said 2nd, back up. 1 Peter chapter 3, and you go down just a little bit, and the Bible starts talking here, and it says in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is inside of God of great price. Now, and I chose that because of all the things. Really, when you talk about femininity, women are more emotional. God made you that way. They're more sensitive. God made you that way. It's not that men aren't sensitive at all. It's just women are more sensitive, more emotional. They're more nurturing. I mean, seriously, if you have a child get hurt, why do they always run to mom? Because you know what dad's going to say? You know, suck it up and get back up and go do it. I'm seriously, if you fall down and scratch your knee, I'm going to say, you'll be okay. Put a band-aid on, let's go with it. Mom's like, it's okay. Mom's okay, that's the way you're designed. I mean, they're softer, they're kinder, they're nicer. They have a meekness about them. They have a quietness about them. By the way, women, you might want to know this. You might want to go back and read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Interesting. You know what the display of a harlot is? She's loud. She's loud. She's boisterous. She takes initiative. She's the one that becomes a leader and runs up and says, hey, man, come with me. And God says, wrong. That's not right. That's the leadership role of the man, not the woman. But the proper woman, the godly woman, the feminine woman. And by the way, woman can't even be said today, to tell the truth. The feminine lady. Now, to be quite honest with you, you have to differentiate today because of our society. But a real lady is one, she likes frilly things. She likes to smell good. She likes soft stuff, quiet stuff. She's meek, she's quiet. She's not loud or rambunctious and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because that's what God said, a meek and quiet spirit. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. You say, why? That's called being a woman. And guess what, guys? We like it that way. I don't care really what the world says. Every real man wants a real woman. I don't want my wife to look like me, smell like me, talk like me. That's not appealing. That's scary. It's scary, man. You know what the Bible also said here? Verse 7, she's a weaker vessel. See, today, women, you're being taught this. Stand up for yourself, be independent, you don't need men. That's funny, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You were made to be a helpmeet to men. We'll get into that. We need you, and you need us. It's God's perfect design. Why fight it? Why fight it? You are to be sweet. You are to be kind. You're to be soft. You're to be gentle. You're a lady. That don't mean there's not, you can't work. There's not a lot of things you can't do. You know, we're not getting into all that. And some people have crazy opinions of that. But I'm just saying, basically this. There's masculine, there's feminine. When you look at a man, it ought to be obvious. When you look at a woman, it ought to be obvious. And the characteristics that are there, you ought to say, now that's a real lady, and that's a real man. By their look, their actions, their spirit, all that's about them. And I'm here to tell you, when you do that, guess what? You honor and glorify God. Now, can I challenge us to pursue this? Because I think it's essential in the society that we live today, where the genders are being called neutral and everybody's alike, that the longer we live in this generation, it's going to start wearing even our Christian families down. And I can tell you as a pastor, it's already doing it. In the majority of my counseling sessions, I'm amazed at the philosophies that come from this gender philosophy right here. It will shock you when we start getting into family. How many times I've sat down with a man and woman, and when I start going over a man's role or a woman's role, one of them gets upset. And I'm going to tell you right now, 99.9% of the time, you want to know who gets upset? The woman. Because you've been taught feminism. And anytime the preacher opens up the Bible and says, this is what the Bible says, which is a benefit to you, I'm watching Christian women get mad almost instantly. Almost instantly, their whole spirit changes towards the pastor. And they look at me and they clam up. And I mean, I can mark it down. I change right there in the middle. Often I stop. I start reviewing it, going over. I'll start looking at the woman in a very kind voice, going over it again. You understand? Often she won't speak. Just kind of look over like this at the person that she's going to marry or her husband or whatever. And there's silence in the room. She gets up. Oh, the air. You know what this looks like. I mean, the look is given to the pastor. They walk out. And really, normally I'd never see them again. But they walk in and they're saying, we're born again believers. We love God. We want to get married. We want to do things right according to the Bible. I say, great, let's see what the Bible says. And I open up this book and all of a sudden they're upset. Why? Because the genders are messed up. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing depressed Christian families, messed up Christian families. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest reasons. We're not fulfilling our image before God. And if you'll start fulfilling, I guarantee you, things will be better than you can imagine. Because it'll be back in God's order. Now what that is, we're going to go over more next week. Now I'm going to look at the four other areas, from the home to the church, the parents, to different things that God specifically says in the Bible, that there ought to be different gender differences. We're going to re-explain what our roles are, that we might honor and glorify God. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater building. Until then, God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you again for listening.